I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. My girlfriend is Catholic. How do we go about getting married?
Is mindfulness being taught in public schools a form of New Age or Buddhist mind control?
We have invited special guests to answer these questions and more. I'm Crystal Lewis.
And I'm Rebecca Fonai. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. If you are tuning in for the first time, our goal is to provide you with scripture-based answers to your Bible questions. And Rebecca, it looks like we have some questions coming in today.
I agree. We sure do. So if you would like to participate, don't forget to submit your Bible questions that you want to have answered. Bible Help Desk is here for you. You can text us or call in with your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Don't forget to leave us an email so we can contact you back. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests for today?
First, we have Dr. Galina Steli. Dr. Galina Steli currently serves as the Associate Director for Women's Ministry at the General Conference. She has previously served as a Research and Evaluation Manager, a professor of theology at Zelsky Theological Seminary in Russia, and the Director of Missiology. She is a widely published author, and in her free time, she enjoys reading and writing, gardening, cooking, assembling puzzles, and spending time with her family. Dr. Steli, welcome back. It's good to see you.
I'm glad to be here.
And also joining us today is Dr. Oleg Kostyuk. Dr. Oleg Kostyuk currently serves as the assistant to the president for mission at Advent Health University in Florida, where he also teaches courses in religion, specifically world religions and spirituality. He's an accomplished author and has also served as a minister and hosted other TV shows on Hope Channel. A fun fact about him is that he is an avid endurance sports enthusiast, having competed in ultra marathons and Ironman competitions. We are glad to have you back, Dr. Kostyuk.
Thanks for having me.
And before we get started with our questions, we want to share a verse for you for today found in Psalms 19, verse 8. And it says, "The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living." And Rebecca, I love this verse so much because it reminds us that God's law provides us insight and will always point us to the road of success.
I agree.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so very much for the word. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your commandments, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will always provide us to the right path, Lord God. Be with us, Lord, as we have some honest questions in our hearts. Be with our viewers that's watching, our guests that's here. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. What's our first question, Rebecca?
Okay, let's jump right ahead in. Our first question, we received a text and the person asked, "I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. My girlfriend is Catholic. How do we go about getting married?" I think this is a very personal question. I'm going to pass this to Dr. Steli first. I'm not sure if you've had other people ask you this question before, but what can we answer to this friend of ours that has sent in the question?
Yeah, this is very good, interesting question, but at the same time, it's not an easy one. And whatever the answer is, we need to say that you need to decide by yourself at the end. But let us see what the Bible says. So let's start from Amos chapter 3, verse 3. This is a very famous verse. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And it is kind of looks obvious that, of course, people should agree to go together for a lifetime, right? And the more areas they agree on, the more successful their journey will be, right? But we also need to remember that God had a plan when he created the marriage. Let us look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So we see that God's plan was oneness. And oneness includes not just intimate relationship. It goes beyond. It includes intimate bond of emotions, of mind, of soul. And so we need to ask how similar we look at the, principles, religious principles, or practices, religious practices, or at some kind of, questions that we need to deal with in the future as a family. And of course, interfaith marriages, they happen. And it depends on each particular denomination, how they, treat or deal with that. So, of course, interfaith marriage can be registered as a state or civil marriage, but it depends on a denomination you deal with, how they allow or not allow, perform or not perform a religious ceremony in the church. At the same time, people know that the scripture does not advise us to go to create a marriage with unbeliever. And sometimes there is a temptation to say, oh, my girlfriend or my boyfriend, they believe in Jesus or they believe in God. So probably this is enough. We both are believers. Of course, this is fact. You both are believers if you believe in Jesus or you believe in God. At the same time, this oneness that is an ideal in God's eyes, can it happen if you are from different denominations? And of course, there are so many areas that different denominations look at differently. And if we look at Adventists and Catholics, we can say that in addition to Adventist specific beliefs, when we compare them with Catholic, there is also a special difference on the view of salvation, on some traditions, on some practices. And so the good thing is to ask or discuss these questions together. In what church we would like to go as a family? In what church we would like to raise our kids? And how we would like to raise our kids? In addition to that, it would be very good if you go through premarital counseling with a pastor. And in addition to that, go through Bible study with a pastor and find by yourself on which areas, on what areas you agree or disagree. And then you can make a good decision. Will you make a good match or not?
Thank you so much, Dr. Shelley, for answering that. Dr. Oleg, would you like to add anything?
No, Dr. Stelner's response is so wide and so at the same time it's so practical. So it's being grounded in the word. So I will just reemphasize what Dr. Stelner said is just to find that agreement and good preparation and make sure that premarital counseling is in place. And then Bible study. This is what I really liked about Dr. Stelner's response. Bible study together, because you need to be in the same mind, in the same accord when you enter this relationship. So that is very valuable.
Thank you, Vod, for your answer. I think the person asking us the question, they want to know how to walk, towards the future. And I like that both of you mentioned going back into the Word of God and just really spending that time with God and to know what God would tell you in these directions. And I'm sure God's going to give you the right answer that you need.
Our next question, we received a text from Carl. And the question is mindfulness being taught in public schools as a form of New Age or Buddhist mind control? Dr. Oleg, we have an interesting question here from Carl concerning what topics being taught in school. And the question here is mindfulness. What, any insight you can share, anything about the Bible that can help us out here?
Yeah, so when we talk about mindfulness, traditionally we talk about being in the moment. This is what at least now is being discussed. And the reality is it's almost unlikely that it's somehow connected with maybe New Age or Buddhist mind control. I don't think it is, but I don't know the details. But what I would like us to do, I would like us to go into the Word, into the Scripture, and see what the Scripture talks about. So let's go to Psalm chapter 48, verse 9. And this is what David writes. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. So when we talk about mindfulness or meditation or just filling your mind with something, so what is that meditation on? What do we meditate on? Crystal, what did you hear this? within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing what? Love. Love. So that is critical. So in this world, when we see so many noises and when we hear so many noises, see and hear everything, so many distractions, so many noises, it is very critical for us to be mindful. But mindful of what? Not just to maybe focus on yourself, but focus on what things to love and in what order. So real mindfulness, good mindfulness can help us to recognize that we are in need to think and meditate on the word of God and also on unfailing God's love. And then another verse that I would like us to read, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is what it says. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if you look at the scripture, we see that the scripture gives us actually two things and just almost an instruction how we can experience and practice mindfulness. Number one, we meditate on or be mindful of unfailing God's love. So that this is where gratitude to God comes to play. This is when we really immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And the second very critical element, do we spend enough time thinking about what Jesus has done for us? What God has done for us by sending his only son to die for us so that we could live. And then hopefully this will lead to this removal of distractions and removal of unnecessary noise, because we will focus on the right things and we will see the love being formed in the right order.
Thank you for that, Dr. Goleg. I like the way that you expanded on that and provided the verses to help us out with this question as well. I understand it could get a little tricky sometimes. Dr. Shelley, is there anything else you would like to add concerning the question here from Carl?
I like very much what Dr. Kostyuk said about that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus to meditate about him, his character. But I also would like to add that in Book of Joshua, chapter 1, 8, verse 8, and I read from New International Version, there is beautiful verse that also shows us the difference between meditation, spiritual meditation or biblical meditation, and also meditation that maybe is common in our days, that when you meditate, you empty yourself, you kind of would like to relieve your stress and just rest and to be empty. But look what it is written here. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. So this is the difference, that to be prosperous and successful, you need to meditate on God's word and everything that is revealed there. And what is revealed there, of course, God and his character.
Thank you for that, Dr. Shelley, for adding that other verse as well, found in Joshua 1, verse 8, and providing insight on that. Thank you so much. Rebecca, what's our next question?
Our next question, we received a text and they asked, are we to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or just in Jesus's name? Now I'm going to pass this again to Dr. Shelley. What can we answer to this question?
Actually, this is a very interesting question. And when I start to research, because I was curious, why did the person ask that? So I understood that there is a group of people, there are some people, they believe that it is better to use the phrase when you are baptized, or people are baptized, that it's better to pronounce a phrase in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name than this Trinitarian formula that we have from Matthew 28. Let us read, let us look at this formula in Gospel of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And let us also read this phrase that was taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be received, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this Peter pronounced on the day of Pentecost, and we probably noted why he said so. What people should do, they need to repent and they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For forgiveness of their sins. So the focus in this verse, in this phrase, actually is what believers should do, not what baptizer or pastor should pronounce. And actually, when you look at similar phrases, and Apostle Luke, you know, he, Evangelist Luke, he also uses several phrases in the book of Acts, but they are not the same. I mean, it's not exactly the same, the wording, like in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name. Sometimes he said in the Lord's name. And so it is not exact formula that he insists that should be pronounced by a pastor. But when we look at the first Trinitarian formula, what can we say? We can say that, first of all, this is a commandment of Jesus, and it is known as the Great Commission. So Jesus actually gave instructions to the disciples. He said about the need of making disciples, and he also shared with them what to do. And this formula, what to pronounce during baptism, was part of these instructions. So we also can say that, you know, people who don't believe that this formula should be kept, many of them actually don't believe in the Trinity. And they say that, you know, they kind of look on the formulation of the sentence and they say the name is in singular. So if there is just one name of Jesus, the other, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they are titles, they are not names. So, but when we look in the original, we can see that in original Greek language, the word name can also be, applied to the proper names and also to the titles. And we see also the definite article before each one of them, into the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And this is like a point that these are three different supernatural persons. We also can say that this discussion is coming, it's not recent, although some people say this is a recent revelation, and so there are some followers that follow this kind of new tradition in the 20th century, from the 20th century. Actually, the roots are going back, and this is an ancient heresy, and it is known as modalism. And you know what modalism is? This is a belief, actually, that there is one God, but that has manifested himself in three modes. Sometimes in the role of the Father, sometimes in the role of the Son, sometimes in the role of the Holy Spirit, at different times, different modes. But when we compare this teaching with the biblical teaching, we see that there is no basis for that. We see three different distinctive persons in the Bible presented. We also can look at why Jesus told that this should be pronounced, this interesting but beautiful formula. And I think that because he also gave us an example when he was baptized, three persons of Trinity were present at this moment. People heard the voice of the Father. People saw the appearance of the Holy Spirit in symbolic form of a dove. And they also saw Jesus Christ that combined humanity and divinity in himself. And this is an example for us that during our baptism, actually, this covenant with the Trinity, with the three divine persons, should happen. And what is also interesting, that during the first century, in Didache, So it's like church manual for the early Christians. They also explain that during baptism, this formula should be pronounced. So I think that, you know, looking at this question, we don't have a solid basis to say that we need to just denounce the teaching of Jesus, the command of Jesus, and follow the short form in Jesus' name. But we need to do it like Jesus commanded, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that a believer could be connected with all three persons of divinity.
Thank you so much, Dr. Staley, for that wonderful answer.
Before we take a short break, you can access a course to help you in your spiritual development from our resource site at hope.study. Click on the link that says Something More, your spiritual development app, to explore lessons like Who Are You and Fake News and the Power of Truth.
We also have a free Bible study course that covers a variety of topics that we can mail to you in North America. Just give us a call and leave us your address and we can get those sent to you. We need to take a quick break from now, but we'll be back with more of your questions. So don't go away.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember, you can call or text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Then you watch to see if one of our guests answered your question.
Our guests answering your questions today are Dr. Staley and Dr. Kostiuk.
Our next question, we received a text from Elvira. And the question is, does the rapture come before tribulation? Well, we have an interesting question here. Dr. Oleg, what does the Bible have to say about this?
Yeah, it is a very interesting question. So first and foremost, let's read one of the verses that talks about supposedly what people think is rapture, and then we will go into the history of that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 6 and 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So what we see that this concept of rapture, which is caught up. And so the word that is used there, it's a Greek term, harpagetzo someta, which means basically to be, it could convey a sense of abduction, like something that disappears. But the reality is it conveys the idea of unexpected coming, unexpectedness. So it's not that you will be snatched away, but the coming of the Lord is unexpected. So that is number one. Number two, historically, the rapture was popularized only in 1970s. So before 1970s, people didn't even talk about rapture. And it was popularized by Hal Lindsey in his writing, which is The Late Great Planet Earth. And then even more so in Tim LaHaye series Left Behind, fictional book, and films later on. So if we think about a rapture that Jesus talked about, Jesus didn't talk about rapture, Paul didn't talk about rapture, so even those passages from Matthew 24 that are sometimes interpreted as rapture, that says that one will be in the garden, working on the garden, and then one will be taken away, and the second will stay there in the garden, once again, it's unexpectedness. So in other words, the coming of Christ will be so unexpected that we will be caught in whatever we are doing, but then we will be with him forever. So let's encourage each other, not the rapture, but the second coming of Jesus.
Thank you for that, Dr. Oleg. And I like that last statement you said. It's not about the rapture, but it's about the second coming of Jesus. Thank you for sharing that. So Rebecca, what's our next question?
Right. Our next question, we received a text from Robert and he asked, how do we pray in the spirit as we are directed to do in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, which says, and pray in the spirit on all occasions. Dr. Staley, what can we tell Robert on this question that he's taking from Ephesians 6, 18?
Yeah. Some people think that this means to pray in tongues. But this would be a wrong interpretation because, you know, here we read on all occasions or at all times. So a person cannot pray at all times or on all occasions in tongues. So we need to find another explanation. What does it mean to pray in spirit? And we can also look that this expression in spirit does not only apply to prayer, but we can also read in Galatians chapter 5 or Philippians chapter 3. We can read that we are also called to walk in the Spirit. We also are called to worship in the Spirit. So what does it mean? And looking at different Bible verses and comparing them with each other, we can understand that, of course, you know, prayer is our talk with God. This is when we open our heart with God, but how do we open it? If we open it, agreeing with God's will, if we are doing it with submission to His will, to His principles, then we do it in His Spirit. And also we can read another verse, very important verse from Romans chapter 8. And this verse also actually helps us to understand that Holy Spirit actually assist us in our prayers. Let's read this verse. Likewise, the Spirit help us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And you see, it's very interesting. Like the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, He's present in our lives. So He is always with us. He creates this desire in us to pray to God, to bring our burdens to Him. And sometimes we come and we don't have even words, but He kind of helps us and the words are coming. He reminds us some scriptures, verses from the scripture. He reminds us some promises. He reminds us about God's character. He reminds us about something we need to fix. And in this way, we pray in the Spirit, in the harmony with the Spirit of God. So we can only praise God that He provided this means. He creates this desire in us to be connected to Him, and He also provides the help through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Shelley, for answering that. And I want to thank you both, Dr. Shelley and Dr. Oleg, for being with us, and we hope to see you again next time.
We also want to thank you for watching. Don't forget to check out our website and our YouTube account for video on demand questions. See you next week. Bye.